afforded to the Lord's people. And we can look at it in three ways. Firstly, the Lord of heaven and earth. And secondly, a watchful shepherd, an ever watchful shepherd. And thirdly, we can look at that protection and care reaching beyond this present life, reaching beyond this present life itself. So firstly, coming to the Lord of heaven and earth. Now, God instructed Israel God instructed Israel in this way. Three times, he said, in a year, you will keep a festival for me. You will keep a festival for me. We have that in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 14. So three times in the year, the tribes were to go up to Jerusalem to participate in these festivals, praising the goodness of God. Now, most of us will probably know what these festivals were. There was the Passover, there was Pentecost, and there was the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. We know that Passover was to remember God's deliverance of his covenant people from the bondage of Egypt. Pentecost was to celebrate the harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles was to remember their days in the wilderness when they were without houses and they lived in tents, and God provided them with the manna and with the water gushing out of the rock. So there were these three festivals. Now these journeys, that they had to take to Jerusalem three times a year, they would be filled with danger. They would have to contend with the heat of the day along with the cold at night, with the cold of the night. And they had to journey very often on very narrow paths cut out of steep hillsides or mountainsides, and one slip would be fatal. Not only that, but they would have to contend. They would be confronted by wild beasts and by robbers. And as the parable to the Good Samaritan reveals to us, these robbers could be very close to Jerusalem itself. So that even when they were coming close to the holy city, they weren't guaranteed. Their safety was not guaranteed. And this was the situation. And the psalmist here in Psalm 121 must have been drawing close to Jerusalem at the time when he says, I lift mine eyes to the hills. Jerusalem was surrounded with hills. I lift mine eyes to the hills. And Jerusalem was a place that was very difficult to conquer. Even Israel themselves never managed to conquer Jerusalem until the day of David. They never managed to fully conquer it until the day of David, until David became king. And they spent all that time in the promised land with Israel still remaining unconquered. You see, these hills that surrounded Jerusalem, they would see their enemies coming over the hills, and they were given plenty of warning to prepare for any attack that came their way. And so the psalmist says, I lift mine eyes to the hills, to the Lord in his providence, who has surrounded the holy city with these hills and leading the holy city to have such protection. And then he poses a question. He poses a question at the beginning of the psalm. Where does my help come from? And he answers that question himself. My help, he says, comes from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, when we read the Old Testament and the word Lord is used, it means that the writer is talking about the covenant keeping God, covenant making God of Israel, and the covenant keeping God of Israel. This he is talking about, the psalmist here is talking about the God who led Abraham out of the land of Ur and guided him to the promised land. This is the God who made a covenant with that same Abraham. He's talking about the God who led, who delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of their captivity in Egypt and led them through the wilderness until he finally brought them, as he did with Abraham, into the promised land, making a covenant with them on Mount Sinai. The God who promised David that one connected with David would sit upon the throne eternally, would be an eternal king. This is the God that the psalmist is talking about. This is the God from whom his help comes from. The God who made heaven and earth. The God who was protecting not only the psalmist, but Israel as a whole at this particular time. And you see, the Lord who made heaven and earth was a great statement of faith in the psalmist's day. Because people in the psalmist's day believed in many gods. And they believed that these various gods presided over different stages of one's journey. There was the god of the seas, the god of the mountains, the god of the rivers, and so on. So the question was, which of these gods would protect one when one would embark upon a journey? And the psalmist has no doubt whatsoever, that his protection, his help, was to come from the Lord who had made heaven and earth. And of course, when he mentions that this is the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, it means that this is the very God who is sovereign over all things, visible and invisible, and whose protection is all-encompassing. And it's the same promise for us today. If we belong to this God, that we are under the same protection that the psalmist was under, and that protection is all-encompassing. That protection is all-encompassing. And in the following verses 3 and 4, there seems to be a foreign voice breaking in. It's not the psalmist that is talking, but somebody else. And this somebody else is assuring the psalmist of God's protection and care, that God's protection and care will follow him on this journey to Jerusalem. Listen to what this voice says. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And this is, the psalmist is being assured here that the protection and care of this God will follow him all the way to Jerusalem. You see, if we look at these verses, this is the first time that the word keep is used here. And where we find the word keep, in another part of Scripture, is in the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord shine his face upon you and give you peace. And you see, if one could say that the verses following these verses 3 and 4, that they are an extended version of the Aaronic blessing. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It's almost, one could say that it's an extended version of the Aaronic blessing. The Lord shall keep you. This Lord, this creator of heaven and earth, shall keep you. And we know, we have already mentioned these narrow paths that they had to travel on, and one slip upon these narrow paths would have been fatal. But the Lord shall keep the psalmist and all who journey to Israel. He shall keep them from their feet hitting the stumbling blocks that were before them on these paths, the rocks and whatever would lead them to slip. And the Lord would keep them for the whole of their journey. The promise here is that his feet would not slip, along with the promise, of course, that the Lord would keep him. The Lord would keep him. And the picture that has been given to us here is the Lord, a picture of the Lord as shepherd. The Lord as shepherd, looking caringly over his flock. And he will not let their feet stumble. He will not let their feet stumble. Which brings us to the next thing that we have here, the ever watchful shepherd. Like a shepherd, the Lord will guide the psalmist as he walks upon these perilous paths that will eventually take him to Jerusalem, and the Lord will not let his feet slip. The Lord will not let his feet slip. The Lord will keep him. The Lord will keep him. And this is the promise that we have today as God's children. As God's children, we are under and we will continue to be under this protection of this Lord who has created the heavens and the earth. Like a watchful shepherd, the Lord, as we read in these verses, like a watchful shepherd, the Lord will not slumber. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, means that the Lord is ever watchful. The Lord is ever watchful. Well, there are times in our lives, there are times in my life and in your own life, when we question, where is the Lord? Things happen in our lives that make us question, where is the Lord's presence? A severe sickness, the sudden death of a family member or friends, and we suddenly find ourselves questioning, does the Lord care what I am going through? Has the Lord any awareness of what I am going through at this particular moment? Well, we are not alone when we start questioning the Lord in such a way. If we look back to the psalm that we were singing, Psalm 44, we find Israel doing exactly the same thing. Because of you we are killed all day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake. Do not cast us off forever. So we are not alone when we come face to face with these experiences and find ourselves questioning, as people of old were questioning whether his presence was with them or not. Awake, do not cast us off forever. And those who worshipped the god Baal in the psalmist's day They were of the opinion that if the harvest did not come up to their expectation, then Baal had been asleep for the whole of the summer. Baal had been asleep for the whole of the summer. But as the psalmist reveals to us in this psalm, it is not so with the covenant-keeping God of Israel. He slumbers not, nor sleeps, but remains ever watchful. His protection is over his people day and night. His care is over his people day and night. That's what that means. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. And then in verse 5, we have this thought being made more personal. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. Which means that if you are a child of God today, then this God who rules over this vast universe is your personal guardian. This Lord who created the heavens and the earth is not far from you, but is very close to you. It's very close to you and to me. And not only was he the psalmist's keeper, but he was also the psalmist's shade at his right hand. And we could interpret the word shade there as shield. If you remember when soldiers went to war in those days, their left side was always protected by the shield that they held in their left hand. But their right side was unprotected. Who protected their right side? It was the soldier next to them who protected that unprotected side. And in the psalm that we were singing, Psalm 16, we find the psalmist using these words. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Which gives us again the picture of the all-encompassing protection that this Lord of heaven and earth affords to us. And Israel could not only count on the Lord protecting them from the sun by day, from the scorching heat of the sun by day, but they could also depend upon this Lord protecting them from the moon by night. Why should they need protection from the moon by night? Well, people were very superstitious in those days about the damage that the rays of the moon could do to a person. And even you will find in some areas of the world today, to this day, that this superstition still exists. Have you ever watched the horror film going back years called The Werewolf, where when you had a full moon, this person would become half a wolf and half a man? And this was the superstition that existed. And we use these words to this day, where the words lunatic and the word lunacy, which comes from the Latin word luna, which means moon. So they believed in those days that too much exposure to the rays of the moon would turn a person mad. And that's why the psalmist is mentioning here about the moon, that they would needed protection not only from the day, from the sun by day, but from the moon by night as well. From the moon by night as well. The Lord is an ever watchful shepherd. An ever watchful shepherd. And of course, the nights in these places can be as cold as the day can be hot. And the Lord is promising them on this journey that his protection would be with them night and day, night and day. And then when we come to verses 7 and verse 8, we find at the beginning these words, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil." The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. These verses are looking to the future. They are not honing in upon our life here in the present day. The Lord shall protect you from all evil. In other words, the Lord will keep me and you from all harm. From all harm. Life exposes each and every one of us to various trials and tribulations. But none of these trials and tribulations are beyond God's all-comprehensive protection. None of them are beyond God's all-comprehensive protection. This does not mean, of course, that our life will be a bed of roses. But what it means is this, that we can rely on God's all-comprehensive care. We can rely on God's all-sheltering care, as we were singing about in Psalm 91. If you remember God's dealings with Job, and he gave Satan license to do what he wanted with Job's body. "But you shall not do any violence to his soul." And that is where God's comprehensive care, God's all-sheltering care, surrounding his people. Yes, maybe there will be these times when we will have bodily sufferings. But we should always remember that his care is round about our souls. He will keep your life. He will keep your life. Well, what does that mean? Well, here the psalmist's journey becomes his life's journey here on earth. And the promise he is receiving from the Lord here, same promise as we are all receiving from the Lord will guard our life. Just as he did with Job, just as he told Satan, "You shall not lay a finger on his soul. You can do what you want with his body, but you shall not lay a finger on his soul." The Lord will guard our life. My life and your life. And then he comes to use these words as going out and as coming in. Well, his comings and goings really describe what was a typical city life in those days. The worker would have to leave the walled city and the protection of the walled city behind him and go out to work in the fields or to tend to look after goats or sheep or cattle. It was an agricultural economy. That's what they had to do. So they had to leave the protection of the walled city to go out to do their daily work. And then once their daily work was finished, they would return to the protection of the walled city again. And what this means, what it meant for the psalmist and what it means for me and you, is that our comings and goings, when we leave our home, protection of our home, the communion of our home, or whatever, when we are going, and many of us travel afar today, we do so with the blessing of the Lord. If we are His, then it's whatever, wherever we are going, we are not without His protection. The psalmist might have been thinking when he was leaving behind the protection of the walled city, he was placing himself in great danger, but no. He was going with the blessing of the Lord. And when he left for Jerusalem and turned his back on his home, he was going with the blessing of the Lord. The Lord was going to be there with him in his journey. And then we have these words, for this time forth and forevermore. Well, these words extend our comings and goings to the whole of our lives, even beyond our earthly journey. God's care does not just extend to every place and every part of my life and your life, but also to all time. To all time. And beyond time, if we can put it that way. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So he was willing to die in order that his sheep would be protected. But then you put the question, well, what use is a dead shepherd to a flock of sheep? Well, listen to Jesus' words again. No man, he said, takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. And this he did. And then he lived, once he rose from the dead, he was with his disciples for many days. Then he told them he had to leave. They didn't want him to leave. But he says to them, if I do not go, then the Comforter will not come unto you. The Holy Spirit will not come unto you. He had to leave. For the Paraclete to come, the Protector, the Comforter, and the Guide of God's people. And then listen to what Jesus said before he left. Remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. So that wherever you and I are going and whatever we are doing, the presence of the Lord is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so it will continue even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. Now when we go to Revelations, we find believers there. We find the believers there in glory, in the presence of God and of the Lamb. And listen to what it says. The one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to living fountains of water. That is the picture that we are given of glory, but we know that the journey that the Lord's people are on goes beyond glory and does not end until the new heavens and the new earth shall appear. and listen to what the book of Revelation says again. The dwelling place of God is with men and women. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither will there be mourning or crying. Neither will there be pain. For the former things have passed away. And the former things are the things that belong to this age. Death, pain, mourning, crying, hunger, thirst, and so on. They have passed away. The protection and the care of God follows his people throughout this life and for all time. For all time. Question for me and you this day, are we afforded this protection? Or are we still outside of his care and his protection? Well, if that is the truth, then we should make every effort to be where the psalmist was here, journeying on a very dangerous, very perilous journey, knowing that the Lord was with him every step of the way and even beyond Jerusalem. May he bless to us these few thoughts. Let us pray. O gracious and ever blessed Lord, grant us to be thankful that you are there for us and that in your strength we can draw encouragement. And Lord, that we would be thankful, as it is written, that your grace is always sufficient, that your strength is made perfect in weakness. And thankful, Lord, that it is when we are weak, it is then that we are strong. So help us to truly lean upon the one who will never let us down. Forgive us for our many sins and all that we ask, that we would do so in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Let us conclude by singing from the psalm that we were looking at, Psalm 121 in the Scottish Psalter, on page 416. I to the hills, reading from the beginning, I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that he keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. The whole of the psalm to his praise, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.